The Democratic presidential contests are in a new phase after Iowa and New Hampshire, where whites made up more than 90% of the vote. Black Americans form a major voting bloc in tomorrow's primaries. Black voters will be key to the outcome in South Carolina, Oklahoma, and Missouri. NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams was in South Carolina and prepared this report on the power of the black vote.
Your vote is real power in the year 2004. Political analyst Rick Wade joining us for a special...
WFMV, a gospel station in Columbia, South Carolina, is one of many black radio stations that was packed with political ads last week. On Tony Jameson's morning show, there was plenty of talk about the Democratic primary. As much as 50% of the vote here will be cast by African Americans. That's evident in campaign ads.
When the bullets began to hit the side of the boat, the boom, the pow, 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 we found out that John Kerry can lead.
This Kerry ad features a black South Carolina minister as a man who fought side by side with Kerry in Vietnam. He offers testimony to the senator's ability to work with black people. Kerry also received a late and surprising endorsement last week from six-term Congressman Jim Clyburn. The idea behind these endorsements, as well as appearances by prominent black leaders such as Andy Young and Jesse Jackson Jr., is to persuade black voters to play follow the leader. But as this caller told WFMV's political analyst Rick Wade, not all black voters are getting in line.
I don't need anybody to tell me who to vote for. Don't try to get people that they think that the black people going to listen to.
I think the caller is absolutely right. The fact is that all of these candidates have their big-name popular supporters. That's a great thing, and I think they do have value. But the most important value is the passion that this particular caller is talking about and her right to vote and make her own decision.
Professor Willie Leggett teaches political science at South Carolina State University, a historically black college in nearby Orangeburg, where blacks make up about 70% of the population. According to Professor Leggett, the candidates are still searching for the key to South Carolina's black vote.
None of these candidates has decided to take the kind of time to really engage black people in the political process, right? They want a kind of magic formula. How can we get the black vote? And then after they raise the question, how can they get the black vote, the next question is, who is the great Negro leader who can deliver it?
Democrat Al Sharpton has an advantage in reaching out to black voters as the lone African-American candidate, but unlike the 1988 campaign of Jesse Jackson, which unified the black vote nationwide, Sharpton's campaign has not been able to stop the black vote from splintering among several candidates. Representative Jim Clyburn, who endorsed John Kerry, says his endorsement could be significant even in a divided black vote.
I saw a poll here in South Carolina, and in that poll, 65% of the 600 people polled said an endorsement by me would have a positive impact. I also saw the national poll that indicated that endorsements only mattered to about 1% of the voters. But the fact of the matter is, how many elections are won by 1%? 1% is the difference between John Edwards finishing third and fourth in New Hampshire.
It is my distinct pleasure to introduce to you the next president of the United States, Senator John Edwards!
Over 100 John Edwards supporters crowded a small music room on the campus of South Carolina State, Edwards' first stop after New Hampshire. One of the supporters was Baptist minister Michael McLean. He says his top concern is finding a candidate, black or white, who can win in November.
Vote, and we must vote for someone who is going to do what they say they will do after they get into office, and someone who can be George W.
Besides electability, concerns over jobs and health care come up repeatedly in interviews with black voters. South Carolina's black unemployment rate, now more than 10%, is double that of white South Carolinians. Unemployment is also a big issue in Missouri, where 20% of the state's registered voters are black, and in Oklahoma, where 11% of the state's electorate is black. South Carolina, however, is an intriguing door to the black vote for Democrats this year. This state was the entryway for many black slaves into America. It's where the Civil War started, and not one black politician has won statewide elections since Reconstruction, despite the fact that a third of the population is black. State Representative Gilda Cobb Hunter says the history of slavery and segregation, represented by the ongoing controversy here over the Confederate flag, set South Carolina's black voters apart.
The brutality of slavery in South Carolina was so intense things didn't change here a lot, even after they had changed other places. The NAACP has labeled it Confederacy of the Mind, and they apply that to white folk who want to keep the flag up. I would suggest to you that that whole notion of Confederacy of the Mind is not one that applies just to white folk, that there are African Americans here who still have that plantation mentality.
In a state where blacks often feel like second-class citizens, there's also a lingering reluctance to get involved with politics. An added problem is concern over whether their vote will count. In the 2000 presidential elections, black voter registration was up, but in Florida and some other states, there were reports that black voters were turned away from the polls and black votes intentionally discounted. At Burt's, a popular home cooking restaurant across from Allen University in Columbia, Lawrence Tisdale says he's not planning to vote.
Now, you know, you can put anybody in chair with the president. And it's just like it really you're wasting your time because even if you vote, it won't be worth voting. So they put who they want to put in there now.
At the nationally televised debate on Thursday night in Greenville, the audience did not look like it came from a state that was one-third black. The candidates rarely spoke about racial issues. Ifeowan Gaza, a local lawyer and community activist, left the debate disappointed.
The debate was flat. They fell into their usual pattern of speaking to white folks as opposed to speaking to the one-third of the electorate, which is black folks in South Carolina. They did not adequately customize their presentation.
Donna Brazil, Al Gore's campaign manager in the 2000 election, says if African Americans turned out full strength nationwide this year, they would control a substantial number of delegates to the national convention. But while black women tend to do their part, black males tend to drop out of politics.
When you look at black males ages 18 to 25, their voter registration numbers are down. Less than 25% participate in the political process. More black males voted for Reuben and Clay in this last American Idol showdown than voted for Al Gore or George Bush in 2000.
While Republicans are depending on Hispanic votes to lift their support this year, the key question for Democrats is the level of African-American turnout. So far, there's no Jesse Jackson and no Bill Clinton to energize black voters, only an antipathy to President George W. Bush. Juan Williams, NPR News, Columbia, South Carolina.